All right, very good morning and welcome. So it's a Wednesday morning. It's always that, you know, technical things. I think I'm getting old, you know, with technical stuff. You know, when you have to do all these technical things, you know, sometimes some of us are coming from those years, the 19 Kururus, that are normally referred to as a 19 Kurus. Yeah, we're coming from that side, from that time. So when it comes to technical things, we always found wanting. All right, good morning and welcome to Eagle FM. Thank you, Tate France, actually for handing over the mic to Ondangwa. So now we're coming to you from the Ondangwa, right? And live and direct from the mighty Oshana region. All right, and I think winter is here already. It's a really cold winter. It's not too cold this side, but you know, you can feel that winter is here. And I probably the other side of the country, I think in Bintuk, I hear already, you know, that make sure that you really pumped up, you know, in terms of jacket on your body. So, yeah, winter's here. My favorite time, though, it's my favorite time of the season. I love winter because I can do much. I can do much more during winter times, you know. You can sleep, you can work. You have even enough time to sleep. I think it's longer in winter. It's longer night in winter and short day and in winter as well. So yeah, no. Good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day. My name is Mike Oshaveli, and this is Unpacking the Day, your daily dose of what is really going on in business, economic, and political headlines. So every weekday, we cut through the noise to make sense of the big stories, trends, and numbers making headlines, and we keep it clear, and also always asking questions that matter, and giving you a fresh take on what people are saying out there. Now, the views shared during our segment don't necessarily reflect those of Eagle FM. We are here to unpack what others are saying and spark a meaningful conversation so that you can be a part of the bigger conversation. So this is your space and this is your platform to unpack with me the headline and get to the heart of the stories and get to the heart of stories. All right, so welcome. As we normally do here on Unpacking the Day, we start first of all. We go into history. We look at what happened on this day in Africa. So, good morning, my dear listeners, and welcome back to On This Day in Africa. So today's, we are looking at May the 6th, a date that gave us some truly remarkable moment in Africa and also global, you know, also in a global history. So let's dive right in. Now, on May the 6th, 1973, in Addis Ababa, that's Ethiopia, where the African Union have their office. So the trade union leaders from across the continent came together and formed the Organization of African Trade Union Unity. Okay? And in short, OATU, in short. All right? So maybe it could be OATU or OATU, whatever. All right? Now, here's why this is matter. All right? At the time, many African nations were newly independent, and workers were fighting for fair treatment, better wages, and basic right on the job. Now, OATU, the union, unity, was created now to bring all those separate trade unions under one roof so they could speak with a louder and united voice. Now, think of this. Think of it this way. Now, one worker's asking for a raise, you know, might be ignored. But millions of workers standing together across the entire continent, that will get an attention. So that get an attention. So the OR2 pushed for social justice, economic fairness, and also solidarity among the African workers. And it's a legacy, I think, is still echoing in labor movement across Africa today. So, and we go to 1994, and now this one it's big, okay? This one is big in May the 6th, 1994, South Africa was in the middle of holding its very, very, very first fully democratic elections. All right? For the first time in the country's history, every adult citizen, regardless of race, could cast their vote. Now, this election marked the official end of apartheid, you know, that brutal system of racial segregation, you know, that had oppressed the black majority for many, many, many years. And the result, Nelson Mandela, the man who spent 27 years in prison for fighting against that very system, became South Africa's first black president. My black president, you know, who is that, Brenda Fassie, that song, my black president, you know that song. So, yeah, this wasn't just, of course, it wasn't just a South African story. It's a South African story. It was an African story, a human story, if you like. It proved that justice, patience, and reconciliation could overcome even the deepest division that was in that country. So, May 6, 1994, the day democracy truly arrived in South Africa. And finally, on May the 6th, 2002, a young man born in Pretoria, South Africa, did something that would change the space industry forever. Elon Musk founded SpaceX. He founded SpaceX. Now, yes, SpaceX is an American company, of course we know, and it's operate out of the United States. But here's the thing, man. You know, Musk was born in South Africa, grew up there, and his roots are firmly African, all right? And what he built has actually reshaped how the world thinks about space travel. Now, before SpaceX, space was mostly the domain of government agencies. You know, Musk came along and said, well, what if a private company could do this? And on top of that, do it cheaper and even faster. So today, SpaceX launches a rocket, carries cargoes to the International Space Station, and is working towards sending humans to Mars as well. Okay? So all of that started with a decision made on May 6, 2002. By a kid from where? From Pretoria, who dared to think big. Okay? Well, that's all we have for you today on this day in Africa. So we will catch you on the next flip of the calendar. That's tomorrow. So, and welcome. Welcome. If you're just joining us, our time is 15 minutes past the hour of 8. And it's good to have you. It's good to thank you for joining us and for making us your choice at this point in time. All right. So what is our thought for the day today on the 6th of May on Ladies' Night? Good morning, Namibia. On today's thought for the day, we are reminded that every dog has its day. Every dog has its day. Now, in simple terms, this means life does not always stay the same. Okay? Life does not always stay the same. The one who is struggling today may rise tomorrow. Right? The one who is overlooked today may be celebrated later. So do not give up too soon, okay? Don't give up too soon, or do not look down on others too quickly. That's another thing. Do not look down on others too quickly. Life has season, my people. Life has season. Your time can come when you least expected it. So stay faithful. Keep working and keep believing. So, and that's our thought for the day this morning. All right. So, before we quickly go to commercial quickly, what can we expect on the show this morning? Okay, what can we expect? What are we going to talk about? Now, the Namibia's Ministry of Mines and Energy has acknowledged that a critical lack of comprehensive mineral reserves and geological data is actually hindering the country's strategic resource management and socioeconomic development. So that's what make our front page this morning in today's edition of The Villager is back this morning. So looked it up, the story by Nino Menwabali Hangala. So that's the story that we're going to look at it. And it's a very, very important story. It's a very, very important article. And I can tell you, I want you to unpack that with me. Stay with that. It's very, very interesting. And also, if we have time, the President Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah has officially clarified that the proposed 51% local ownership requirement for mining license is not the government policy. It's not the government policy. And that was said aimed at to resolve now months of investors' uncertainty that rattle Namibia's mining sector. So if we get time, we're going to get into that as well today. So make sure that you unpack that. You unpack this with me right here. So when we come back, we get into our first item.
Omutiha witikirwa kaguna imatina omjo. Chikao shafa sana na longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongo tisamwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa olonjika. Seitha nina omayakudo nirandi soma yoe yongeshifa yoe kupitira mo Ikelefe Media House. Ngoe tuende pimeleha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo, dengira selma, kodara heta tuimu. Datu, heari hamano tano, oniyaji. Ikelefem, so I.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
All right, welcome back. Welcome back and a very good morning to you if you're just joining us, Namibia, and to all my dear listeners. So thank you. Welcome back to Unpacking the Day. I want you to imagine this, okay? I want you to imagine something for me. Okay, imagine sitting on a gold mine. Okay? You're sitting on the gold mine, literally, I'm saying just literally sitting on the gold mine. Your backyard sits on the top of some of the most valuable mineral on the planet. You know, uranium, diamond, gold, lithium, copper, the works. Okay? Think of all the diamonds that we have, all the minerals that we have. Now, imagine you have absolutely no idea how much is actually under your feet. You get no idea at all. You don't know the full picture of what you have. You can't put number on it. You can't verify what is there. You are just guessing. Does that sound crazy? Does that sound crazy? But that, my friend, and as much as it sounds as crazy as it is exactly where Namibia finds itself right now. And I'm not joking about it. So the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy has come clean in its 5-year strategic plan that was released last month. Okay. One thing is that it's good that they have actually come clean. And what they admitted, I think should make lawmakers, should make the leader of this country, and every Namibian worried. It should make every Namibian worried. And I'm encouraging you, please make sure that you pick up and make sure that you subscribe to the Villager so that you can get your digital copy coming to you directly. Or what you need to do is just to subscribe. Just send your name and your email address to 081-200-4144 for you to subscribe. So this is a story, and it's a very important story. This is a very important article by Bangino Menwabali Hangala in today's edition. It's making the front page today, and I find this, I don't know what to say really. Okay, we're going to unpack this, and hopefully, I will get some people actually, lawmakers, hopefully, I get some lawmaker, and I hope they are listening. There are some that are listening. Lawmaker or someone, you know, really to explain this. And I really have to thank, I think, you know, Menwabali, you know, for this article, because it's something that we actually, you know, from someone who can be able to pick up something that probably nobody has picked up from the 5-year strategic plan of the ministry. Okay, so that's why you should always, well, make sure that you subscribe to The Village, and also make sure that you always tune in on Unpacking the Day and other program, especially Early Morning Scoop, Unpacking the Day, you know, and Kutha Moshe, because we deal with some of the issues that are happening around now. Now, this is very, very important, and that's why I said, this is very important. All right. Now, so the reason why the Ministry of Industry, Mines and Energy has come clean, as that it has come clean in its 5-year strategic plan. It was actually released last month. And what they admitted, it should make every one of us worried, really, and especially the lawmakers. Now, the country lack comprehensive mineral reserve and resource data. The country, okay, lacks comprehensive mineral reserves and resource data. Okay. That sounds like I've just spoken Chinese. Okay, let me translate. It sounds like I've just spoken Chinese. I'm going to translate. Now, we don't really know what we have got. In translation, in a simple Namlish English, okay? In a simple Namlish English, I'm not talking now the economic language now here. It's a simple translation that we don't really know what we have got. We are flying blind. We are flying blind on our own mineral wealth. Eh? So you know what that means? It means that we don't know. We have no idea what is actually under our feet. We got no clue. We don't know the full picture. We can't put a number in it, and you can't verify what is there. We cannot. We don't. That's what it means. We lack comprehensive mineral reserves and resource data. we don't really know what we have got. So, and that, if that doesn't concern you, really, if that doesn't concern you, it should. It honestly should. Okay? It should. Now, I'm going to give you a bigger picture. Okay? Go to the article, read the article, but I'm going to give you, let me give you another context, in a bigger context. Okay? So, because mining in Namibia is not just a sector. Okay, when we talk about mining in Namibia, it's not just a sector. It is the backbone of our economy. It's not just a sector, and you know, one of the sectors. It is the backbone. You know, 13.3% of our GDP comes from the mining. It comes from there. That's more than one in every 10 Namibian dollar generated in this economy. Okay? That's how big that is. That's how big. So mineral export hit roughly 64.7 billion Namibian dollar in, that's in 2024 alone. So when it comes to employment, the sector directly employs over 20,000 people. Indirectly, if you're talking about indirectly, it's close to 140 something thousand livelihood depending on it. Yeah. That's more than a quarter of all employed Namibians tied, you know, tied to mining in some way. So that's how important mining in this country, Namibia. And if we talk about mining, Namibia is the world's third largest uranium producer. Now, I'm trying to give you a bigger picture for you to understand the serious nature of what we're talking about, the serious nature of what we're talking about today. So Namibia is the world's third largest uranium producer, and if it comes to diamond, our diamond fetched the highest price per carat on the planet, roughly 417 US dollar each. So this, and how would I put this? We are the global leader when we talk about the marine diamond mining. We are the leader in the marine diamond mining, you know? So, and then comes to exploration. Just give you a brief, you know, picture of where we are in terms of our mining. Exploration investment actually hit a record, 1.485 billion Namibian dollar in 2024, up nearly 67% from the year before. Yeah? So, and 588 exploration permit are currently active. We'll come back after this.
Great news! Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
All right, welcome back. So, I said earlier on, 588 exploration permits are currently active. So investors are really lining up at our door. They are lining up at our door, and yet, this is now the point. We cannot tell them, or ourselves. It's not just about telling them anyway. We cannot even ourselves, we don't even know exactly what lies beneath our soil. We can't tell them what lies beneath our own soil. And now, That, for me, when I read the article, then I started to think, man, something it doesn't add up. All right. Something it doesn't add up. Or I've become worried. Or I've become worried. How do you then, Mike? Then the first thing that I was thinking is this. And probably you're thinking the same if you're thinking. And as I said, this is very important. This is a very important article, really. So then I was thinking, how do you negotiate the deal of a lifetime? Some of these deals are kind of like deals of a lifetime. So how do you negotiate the deal of a lifetime when you can't even count what you are selling? Seriously, somebody has to tell me. And I think this is where I'm saying, I need to get in some people to give answers in terms of, because this is serious. And this is not somebody making it up. This is not somebody making up. This is the ministry itself says, we don't have these data. Eh? We're working blind. You know, we're flying blind. You know, imagine flying, you know. How do you negotiate the deal? And much of some of these deals are, it's of a lifetime for a country. When you can't even count what you are selling, what you have. Yeah? Now, let's look at the ministry's own word. It's an interesting one. It's a really interesting one. The ministry didn't sugarcoat, which is actually a good thing. They didn't sugarcoat it. In their own strategic plan, this is in their own strategic plan, they stated clearly that there is a lack of comprehensive mineral reserves and resource data to support informed strategic decision making. That's from their own strategic plan. They said there's that lack of comprehensive mineral reserves and resource data to support informed strategic decision making. Now, informed strategic decision making, that means the decision being made about our mineral wealth, about license, about revenue, about investment, are being made without the full picture. They are working in the dark. All the decisions that are made, this is very serious, guys. This is absolutely, absolutely serious. I don't know. Maybe I'm the one who rattled up, but this is serious. And this is in the strategic planning that, you know, informed decision making. That means the decision being made and about everything, about our mineral wealth, about licensing, about revenues, you know, about investment, are being made without information that we need to make those decisions, without a full picture. We are absolutely working in the dark. Well, the ministry acknowledged that this data gap is the result of a slow production of baseline geoscience data. Why slow? Why is slow? Because of limited funding and limited capacity to actually get out into the field and conduct geological surveys and do the research. That's why it's slow. That's why there's no baseline geoscience data. Now, okay, in a plain language, still I have spoken Chinese, okay? I think in a plain language, you don't have enough money. What it says is just, we don't have enough money or enough skill, or enough skilled people properly to survey our own country. That's what it means. No money, no skilled people to properly survey our country, our own country. And this is a country that's been mining. Imagine that. We have been mining for how long now? We have been mining for centuries. For centuries. Can someone tell me? Can someone tell me how come that we don't have skilled people to properly survey our own country? I'm not talking about maybe now oil and gas and things. I'm talking about, you know, this. We have been mining in several minerals. We have been mining. And we have not, up to now, we don't have enough skilled people to really properly survey our own country. And as I said, this is a country that has been mining for centuries. Yeah? We didn't start mining 10 years ago or something like that. For centuries we have been mining. What even more troubling is the domino effect. Okay? The ministry admit that because we lack this geological knowledge, the country is unaware of its actual mineral reserves. That's the problem. The country is unaware of its actual mineral reserves. You know, thank you. You know, I think you should thank you. You should thank Eagle FM and also the village really bringing this out. It was sitting, the information is sitting. It's actually sitting in their strategic plan, but nobody seemed to actually pick that up. Until we picked it up. So the country is unaware of its actual mineral reserves. And that actually creates, what does that do? It creates a dangerous dependence. It creates a dangerous dependence. Now we are relying on a private exploration company and what their and their geological assessment to tell us what we have. You understand? We're relying on the private exploration company. And I want that to sink in a little bit. You know, if you're a thinking being, think about that. You know, think broader, man. You know, a private company with their own profit motives. I can just imagine a private company with their own profit motives are the ones mapping our national wealth. Yeah? Oh my God. So, are the ones who are actually mapping our national wealth. And we are taking their word for it. We are taking their word for it. Now, let me ask you this one. If a private company discover minerals worth billions of Namibian soil, let's say for example, because we are only taking words for their for we are only taking their word for it, because we are hiring, we are actually asking them, the private company who have actually profit motives, you know, they are the one now mapping our national wealth. Okay, now if a private company discover now mineral worth billions of Namibians on a Namibian soil. Who benefit most when the government doesn't have its own independent data to verify what's there? How do you know what they tell you is actually what is there? Because as I said, these are people who have profit motives. They have their own profit motives. Who benefit most? Because we don't have our own independent data to verify what is there. Now, my dear listeners, do you see how serious this is? Or maybe I'm the only one, or maybe we are the only one who's seeing how serious this is. It is serious. Eh? It is very serious. How do you negotiate? Eh? How do you negotiate when you have no idea what you have? And if the person you negotiate with is the one who is actually telling you what you have, and you take in their word for it. You see, from what position we are negotiating, it's a weak position. Absolutely weak position. No wonder where we found ourselves with 3% or with 1% or with nothing at all, you know? Because we have no clue. Oh, really? Yeah. And we are spending more than what we, you know. Yeah, that's where we are. That's where we are. So now, one thing I always tell you. First, let's talk about the numbers. And because numbers, as I said, they don't lie. Okay? They don't lie. The numbers don't lie. So the mining sector paid 5.6 billion Namibian dollar in taxes in 2024. And that's, when you hear that, it sounds very impressive. It sounds very, very impressive. But here's the catch. That is actually a 24% decline from the 6.86 billion paid in 2023. 24% drop. So while mining revenue itself stayed relatively flat at over 52 billion, how does that work? How does that work? Okay. Only 6 out of 15 mining companies paid taxes in 2023. So it's something that we talked about some other times here. So we went into how, who owned what, who paying taxes and all that. So now only 6 out of 15 mining companies paid taxes in 2023. Some operated at loss. Fair enough. Okay. That's fair enough. Okay. Now, but this is now my problem. The problem now, because of that, imagine now 6 out of 15 mining companies only pay, is only one who paid now, taxes. So, and this is in 2023. Now, come to the story. Without proper reserves database, can we independently verify what companies are reporting? Can we independently now verify what companies are reporting? Can we audit the value of what's being extracted? We can't. We cannot audit the value of what's being extracted. That's the honest answer. We cannot. We cannot. Not properly. And we talked about it, that even when we talked about it, when how that we don't even have a proper system of recording things that are coming out. Eh? The things that are shipped out. And here's the problem. Here's the problem. The ministry has committed now. This is another problem. So please go and read the article. It's today front page of the Villager. So the minister has committed to establishing a mineral resource and reserve database. That is in their strategy. Committed. It is right there in black and white. It's right there in black and white. And they say it is critical for attracting, listen, it's critical for attracting investors, auditing mineral revenues, and allocating mineral license. It is critical for attracting investors, auditing mineral revenue, and allocating mining license. All the thing a sovereign nation should be doing, yes. But when you look at the budget allocation, zero. Zilch. Onola, nothing has been allocated to the mineral resources and reserves database project itself, which is very critical for attracting investors, auditing mineral revenue, and allocating mineral license. But there is zero when it comes to budget, absolutely nada, nothing. Nothing has been allocated now to mineral resources and reserves database project. Oh, guys, as we said, we keep saying here that we need to learn to read, eh? And really understand where we are and why maybe things are happening in the way they're happening. Eh? Well, they have set aside about 7.2 million Namibian dollar for geoscientific infrastructure over 5 years. That cover upgrading a seismic station, geochemistry labs, the TUMEP core shed, and the database infrastructure. But the specific project to build the mineral reserve database, not a single cent earmarked. Not a single cent. Nothing at all. Now, how do you promise? Maybe I asked too many questions. So how do you promise to build a house? Okay, just think in terms of a house. How do you promise to build a house and then you forgot to buy the bricks? Eh? What does it say about priorities when the one tool that could transform, you know, how we manage our mineral wealth has a zero budget? The one tool that could transform how we manage our mineral wealth is not budgeted, has a zero budget. I don't understand. It doesn't make sense for me. Yeah. Now, I went to look at South Africa, okay? So I look at our neighbors. Okay, let's see, because I was saying, how does this happen? So normally things are similar in the whole Africa. Let me not be maybe just, you know, so strong on us. Maybe it's the same thing everywhere, you know. But South Africa has SAMIDABA. That's the South African Mineral Deposit Database. It is comprehensive. It is digital, it is comprehensive, it is digital. It gives the South African government, the investors, the research, a clear picture of what the country holds. Clear. Yeah? It supports their same codes, you know, reporting standards, downloadable GIS impact. GIS maps, national geological maps at multiple scales. It's a proper system. Eh? It's a proper system. So, and Botswana, I also looked at Botswana. They have the Botswana Geoscience Institute. With a mineral projects and project database. They contact systematic airborne radiometric surveys. Yeah? So, and the World Bank's mining governance review has noted their strong governance framework. They actually have noted that. So that's Botswana. Population 2.4 million. Is that 2.4? Yeah, 2.4, around there. So GDP smaller than ours, but they have invested in knowing what they have. Eh? Invested in knowing what they have underneath, under their feet. Or maybe in the sea as well. It's not only under your feet. And Namibia, we have Earth Data Namibia. It's partially digital. It's acknowledged as limited. A research paper from our own geological survey, literally titled "Steps Toward Modern Data Management," lays out the challenges. So the system was designed to store archival, you know, mineral exploration data going back over 50 years. But it's not comprehensive. It's not fully digital, and it's certainly not a national mineral reserve database. It's certainly not. So we are years or decades behind where we should be. Decades behind where we should be. Okay? Now, consider this now. You know, Namibia, and this is how I think we should really, really, really look at this. So Namibia ranked first in Africa and second globally on the 2025 Greenfield FDI, the Foreign Direct Investment Performance Index. We ranked first in Africa and second globally on the 2025 Greenfield FDI Performance Index. Now, foreign investor, they see our potential. Of course, when you rank that here, that means foreign investors actually see our potential. They are voting with their, you know, they are voting with their wallet, you know. But when those investors ask for reliable reserves data, what are we handing them? When now they're asking the reliable reserve data, what are we handing them? Outdated maps? Incomplete records? That's not, and that's what I was talking earlier. That's not how you negotiate from strength. Eh? Outdated maps, incomplete, you know, records. That's not how you negotiate from strength. It doesn't put you in a position of strength. Yeah? And if Botswana and South Africa can build a proper mineral database, what is stopping us? Yeah? What is actually stopping us? Is it really just money and capacity? Or is it also maybe political will? It's up to you to think. Yeah? Is it just money and capacity? Or is it also political will? And sometimes political will is that, I remember I was following what, it's a clip that I watched by accident or something where Mr. Sankwasa, Minister Sankwasa saying, you know, I think he was being interviewed in the car. I think many of you probably have seen this. And paraphrasing, I don't want to misquote him. So saying many local, councillors, are not qualified. So they are not qualified. When now he's talking about laws, they have no idea. They cannot be able to comprehend the concept of law because they have no idea. They are not qualified. Yeah. So qualification, okay, maybe it's not necessary having, you know, what, masters and being a doctorate or something. It's actually, you need to have some academic understanding just to comprehend concept. Eh? It's just to comprehend concept. When you don't, eh? So we understand there are people who have naturally could be leaders but in today's, also we have to understand where we are. Eh? We also have to understand where we are. We have to have people who understand the concept of what democracy is all about, in the first place. What who understand the constitution, what is the law saying? Yeah? So, and when I'm talking about also that, when I'm asking now, I nearly lost my thought processing. So, when I was asking what is stopping us, is it really just money and capacity or is it about political? Well, it could be. Yeah? For the fact that you may have, actually people have no idea, no clue at all. And that's an issue. It is an issue. Yeah? And we even ask, we have even lawmaker do, and sometimes let's ask the lawmaker, do they even understand this? Have they even picked up that 5-year strategic properly? They're looking at, oh, this is a very, it's a good strategic plan, 5-year strategic plan. But they didn't scrutinize it. Eh? they didn't scrutinize it the way we did scrutinize it to really realize, ooh, this is what happening? So this is what happening? Now, so we have been on land. Let's go to the sea. And then there is the sea, okay? The ocean. Namibia holds the richest known marine diamond deposit on Earth, estimated at over 8 million carats sitting on the ocean floor. Now, Deb Marine Namibia operate 7 vessels pulling diamond from the seabeds. You know, we are Africa's leading marine diamond producer. Our offshore diamonds are of exceptional quality and value. But here's the thing. The country has no mineral database for its ocean's water. None. We don't have the mineral database for our ocean waters. So the ministry's own strategic plan acknowledges significant gap in geological data, especially in the remote and underexplored areas. We have no clue. Now, remember the Sandpiper Marine Phosphate Project? You remember that? A world-class offshore phosphate deposit that received a mining license back in 2011. It was 2011. Okay? The cabinet slapped an 18-month moratorium on it in 2013 because of the environment concerns. That moratorium expired years ago, but no operation have started. So environmental clearance is still pending. So policy clashes remain unresolved. You know, meanwhile, the global seabed mining for critical mineral is estimated to be a $20 trillion opportunity. So, and what happened for us? The 20 trillion, and we can't even agree on a framework for one phosphate project. One, just one. So the lack of data in our maritime zone is arguably even more dangerous than on land. At least on land, we have some kind of this geological mapping going back a century. So this was done during some time apartheid and things like that. So we have some geological mapping, you know, going back a century. So in the ocean, we're barely scratching the surface. And with the global race, now we're talking about the global race for critical mineral accelerating, every day without data is a day we are vulnerable to being outmaneuvered at the negotiating table. We are vulnerable to being outmaneuvered, outplayed, you know, at the negotiating table, because we are not, you know, negotiating from a strength. We are not, because we don't even know. You will be on that table just saying, you know. Yeah. If you own 8 million carats of diamonds underwater and had no proper inventory of them, would you feel comfortable letting someone else tell you what they are worth? Would you? I wouldn't. But that's where we are. So now there's so many layers. There's another layer to this story that we cannot ignore as well. You know, the the Hyphen Green Hydrogen Energy Project, okay, a roughly $10 billion investment. You know, that's roughly equivalent to Namibia's entire annual GDP. You know, now the first phase alone is $4.4 billion. Production targeted for 2026, this year. So 350,000 ton of green ammonia per year. Committed to 30% local spend. You know, that's roughly $3 billion. And about 54 billion Namibian dollar flowing into the local economy. Now, this project and other like it will need critical minerals, lithium, copper, rare earth, you know, elements. So Namibia has these minerals. Adrada Mining's UIS project has already made the, what is that, they call the polymetallic, you know, discoveries. Yeah? Now, the issue is, without a proper reserves database, how do we plan for the infrastructure this project need? Yeah? How do we ensure the raw materials for our green energy future are accounted for? How do we prevent the resource curse that has haunted so many African nations? You cannot manage, and listen carefully, you cannot manage what you cannot measure. Full stop. You can't manage what you can't measure. You can't. So the draft amendment to the Mineral Act of 1992 are currently under public consultation. So they proposed a 5% minimum local ownership mandate. So beneficiation targets, stricter work program requirements, small scale mining framework, you know. So these are steps, when you look at this, these are steps in the right direction, of course. Okay? But the new law, without accurate data, so if you don't have accurate data, it's like a car without a steering wheel. Absolutely. It's like a car without a steering wheel. You might be moving. You might be moving, but you can't control where you are going. That's exactly where we are. We could be moving, but, you know, you cannot control where you're going. Because you're not steering. You're not steering it. You're not the one who's steering it. Yeah, because the question is, even when it comes to local ownership and beneficiation targets, how can we enforce local ownership and beneficiation target if we can't even measure the reserves? Yeah? We can't even measure the reserve. These rules now are supposed to govern. So we keep asking questions without answers. Okay? This is just to raise your conscience. So how can we enforce local ownership and beneficiation target if we can't even measure the reserves these rules are supposed to govern? All right. So, yeah. Now, to be fair, the ministry hasn't just sat still. They are not just on their, you know, in their last part of their body, you know. So in the strategic plan, they have committed to increasing nationwide coverage of geoscientific surveys. Now they have promised to conduct a cost estimate study for geoscience surveying. Now they have pledged to enhance technical and financial capacity. And they have said they will explore multiple avenues for resource mobilization. So, well, these are the right words, I think, the right intentions. But, as I always said, but intention don't build database. So right word and right intentions don't build database. What that build that? Money and action. Okay? Money and action do. And that's what we need. The key performance indicator for the mineral reserve database project is measured by percentage progress in development. 0% funded, 0% measured. You can't track progress on something you haven't started. How do we look at this? And we're talking about with around now 26 active mines operating across the country right now as we speak, plus more in development. Every month without comprehensive reserve database is a month of a decision made on incomplete information. That's what it is. Think about it this way. If you are selling a house, would you let now the buyer be the only one to inspect it and tell you what it's worth? So the buyer come and the only one now is going to inspect it, and now they are the one who going to tell you how much it's worth. Of course not. Of course not. You get your own independent valuation. That's exactly what mineral reserve database is. It's our independent valuation of our national asset. That's what it is. Without it, we are essentially letting the buyer set the price. We are essentially letting the buyer set the price because we have no idea. So when the ministry itself admit the data gap, and then allocate zero funding to fix it. So they said, well, this is the gap we have, but they didn't allocate money on it. They allocate zero funding to fix. Should we call that an oversight? Or what should we call that? Should we call that an oversight, or is it a choice that they made? There are certain things that, you kind of like, where is the thinking there? Who is thinking? All right. So maybe you are thinking. So come through. I will open up my line now. So 08333 66091. This is a serious one. So it's a very serious one. 08333 66091. Please do come through and have your reaction to that. 08333 66091.
Omutiha kutekirwa kabuna imatina omjo. Chikao shafasa na nana longeshifa ya ishiwike moshiwana. Iye moyao ota ingongotisa mwene. Anangeshifa ya Namibia ombitombwa na wa oronjika. Seisa nina omayakuro ni randisoma yoe yongeshefa yoe kupitira mo Eagle FM Media House. Ngoe tuende tuimemeha uka kombanga nina. Kara omkwashi pareki uimopo yomo programa detu. Moambo dengira selma konara heta tuimu. Datundatu heari hamano tano oni aji. Eagle FM, the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good morning to you. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, good morning, Dr. Michael.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm all right, my brother. How are you?
I'm all right.
Michael, you know, if you want to stay away from the hard blood pressure,
This is
don't,
serious.
Don't go too deep. A lot of things about Namibia. That way you're going to have an attack.
This is really serious. Absolutely serious. We don't have a comprehensive mineral reserve database, you know.
We have no idea
what we have at all.
For us, we already found out to former minister, Tomi Arwendo.
Yeah.
That is the moment you did extract anything under the ground. When it's underground, there's no value. There's nothing, zero capacity.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's what you can tell already, that yes, there's a lot of things we are not.
Yeah. And the problem for me, we have been mining for centuries, you know?
I'm telling you.
And you told me we haven't developed skilled people who can actually do the surveys and all this.
Eh? No. The people are there. The thing is that there are people who are benefiting out of that loophole.
Ignorance.
And at the moment, there's always something. No, they don't know that how much they are losing at the end of the day.
Actually, they don't know.
How
much the country is losing, you know?
Let them say we. Yeah. Not them. Mm. We. Yeah. Mm. Because we are so included.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, my friend, you cannot tell me up to now the minister of mine, she's well in that department. And she's in title, the job title which she was given.
Yeah.
It's fitting your portfolio, profile, when it comes to their CV. And now you wonder, what is she doing? She been in the A-team. Or previous government, these things are supposed to be done already. There's some things sometimes that the people who are turning back, which we support even throwing them in the dustbin. Don't take what a bubble gum you chew, then you bring it back. Yeah. It will never taste the same.
It won't have a taste anymore.
It doesn't have a taste anymore.
Yeah.
And it's what we keep doing. You know, this day, our day's break day. That is Namibia for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. We have a couple of people who can do that, but that is Namibia for you. The minister with your current is not the. I went to Ingi Zamandi. It's the one I'm all. I put it the one who is in control of mine. No. This is an honorable. Yeah, I'm
Modest
mistaken.
Thompson.
Sorry for that.
It's Modest Thompson. But Modest Thompson, just get on. I mean, we are looking. We're not somehow. When I'm looking at this, I'm not necessarily looking at the current. You know, the current people.
Yeah, the current minister.
Current minister. I'm looking at the previous minister that are coming from.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why I'm also angry because Ingi Zamandi, she was a Namdebo, what CEO DM.
Yeah, yeah.
And she became a government employee, SA team. But they're supposed to structure all those things. She understands she's supposed to be in that because she understands the line of law of that job.
She was the advisor to the president.
Exactly, to the president. Mm. Hey, why they never done something?
Yeah.
Yeah, sorry, I thought now she was the one who leading also the ministry.
But now I remember that it's not the one, she's in Africa now.
Yeah. But seriously, I'm telling you, my friend, in Namibia, the way we are learning the country is that I'm always referring to Kakale. I don't have a space up, I'm going to have Elon Musk up, I'm going to go to Kakale. It's like we are not really here for our Namibian, to be a Namibian. We don't have that patriotism.
Mm.
I'm telling much of them, because you cannot tell me how on earth you don't have a database. Somebody, you are waiting for somebody to come and tell you what you have, what how much is worth it.
Yeah.
I'm even going to look for the customer for myself. I come to you. Me, I don't have anything. I'll come then and I say, no, Mike, oh, transport to I, okay, pay my okay, pain there. But do I need pain down over the Titra Makawash?
Yeah.
But they cost 1 hour. I'm on the Monogoja, every payment or very high in that pain, Dako, take a car with 15 this,
yeah. Hey,
pay me, no customer in the mona, we are two cups of good child, we never bring that pay.
Yeah.
Hey, over the trigger.
Sasi kusisi, kusisi.
Kusisi. No place I know who to talk while you place I know. And then one that took a pain down. I mean, everything is all about me.
Yeah.
I know. Nananja was a treating and I meet the young wali. Mala, at least now I am happy with even with 50-50. But you don't know how much Nanja is my, I mean, him, the Debbie Marina, not Debbie Marina. What is an 50-50 man or government and already Manaria? Or she called him when I'm deb. Which, my friend, then you are here crying. There are a lot of people who are educated, man. When it comes to Namibian educated, that, and that's why a lot of them, they prefer not even to come back home.
Yeah, yeah.
So, as you can see, your country is lacking in that department.
It does.
Of people who are supposed to be there.
Yeah. And sometimes I'm what I'm seeing is this serious, and so as I said, I was listening actually to Minister Sangwasa, and he was referring somebody to, they were just in car talking with somebody, this being recorded. I don't know whether it is some kind of series that you want to do or whatever, but one thing he mentioned, you know, that caught my attention is that and he's not doing it, and he's not saying it to mock. You know, it's how our system is. It's how our system are. So where he said, well, the political, I mean, the councillors are not qualified, you know. Many of them that are elected are not qualified. And when you talk about law, they have no idea what you're talking about.
What? Exactly. Know?
So, and that's exactly, we have so many people in that chamber, in that law chamber, who really have no idea.
Even just imagine, I'm telling you, a parliamentary doesn't know the difference between SWAPO and the government.
Yeah.
He thinks all things all together. Just imagine.
Yeah.
And then on a kalamo more than even 10 years for government. Yeah? And it doesn't know even understand it between the government and the state.
Yeah, so because
we have a lot of problems, my friend.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, you the people choose to be loyal. If, let's say, for example, a minister actually proposed something, it's just because the minister is a SWAPO minister. Now you are not going to criticize that, or you're not going to go against that. Yeah, you're not going to go against that. Even if the policy it doesn't benefit the country, you understand, or it doesn't benefit, you know, ordinary people. Then you kind of just say, okay, I'm just going to let it go through or whatever the case may be, because of that. We really haven't grown to understand. We are not more Namibian. We need to, as you said, we need to be more patriotic. We need to defend this country more than actually our individual political party.
Individual people. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And our individual interest. And I think we're going to find ourselves because of the kind of people we put in positions based on, because we want to have control over these sectors, and then we put our people, and some of them, sometimes these people have no idea at all, you know, and that hurts our country. It hurts our country.
I'm telling you, it's what I'm telling you, Nando committee are selecting what pay me when it comes to our natural marine resource, I mean, our mine. Ah, no, bamwe, kweba pumga, kucha public, oriye muwete. Nando ko Facebook again tabautinga. Sometimes, they think we picking your comrade, ote kusta binga breaker. Tomo make on the most state permission ne amo shukutu kwa dida pe. Malo pene camera, pene police station gatinga, malo ini mayo.
Yeah.
Pe utapumbwa my friend, utapumbwa ano desembori mwe ta picking kwa mananga sha ilongu ya pa imono ini.
Speak English.
Oh, okay, yeah, no, sorry. Desembori mwe no, tengo madara mwe jangiko tuwele kwa sashine o shima. My friend, the thing is, when you look at what we are doing, how many years we've been independent, who's stopping us not to do what is the other country are doing?
Yeah.
That's what I'm telling you, you become shameful.
Yeah.
Why we are in the parliament? What are we doing in all those years?
Mm.
Hey, why we can never come up with something really to protect our country?
Yeah, it's who you have in there, you know, and that goes to every and really, as I said, you know, you have and I have nothing against that. You have some people who are just cattle herders, and certain concept where we are at this point in time. Some people don't even understand.
But you know? Sometimes me also I'm blaming the opposition party also.
Exactly.
Because they are also supposed to scream in, out of their language. Guys, we are trying to do this, but the ruling party is saying this. Then people will start criticizing the ruling party. But if you are quiet, it's mean you are also in the Kahoot. Mm. Because remember that some of the meaning they are having the APRO when it comes to mine, the opposition members. That's why they are quiet, because they are benefiting.
The other thing is that, as I said earlier on, how many of the lawmakers that picked up the 5-year strategic plan of the ministry, how many of them that have picked up and be able to pick up that we have a problem here? Eh? We don't have mineral reserve database. How do we negotiate?
They are only arguing the small things like poaching and what other things. But the most thing which are important, which our country is supposed to benefit, which we are not going to have a shortage of housing, we are not going to have a shortage of electricity and so on, they don't care because they are benefiting out of those APR.
Yeah.
Which is really, I think sometimes I'm a friend, and when you look at Namibia and then you look at yourself, where are we heading? Because sometimes, honey, we can take a sacrifice for our future generation. We do want Namibian kids tomorrow to celebrate our life. No, at least they try.
Mm.
Just at this level. But if we are just...
You're breaking up. I can't hear you. Yeah, okay.
Century.
Yeah.
No. Things need to movement. Let us start adapting the policy with really protecting the natural resource of Namibia. Because you cannot tell me everything which we are doing, even up to now, not a lot of people out there, our member, parliament member, they know how much about hydrogen. Most of them, they're just talking about hydrogen, but they don't know.
Yeah.
What is in there? The detail about how many, if you want to qualify, if you want to buy a share. Huh? How much money you are supposed to put on the table?
They don't understand, they don't even take those papers. I mean, what we expect is that, you know, they want, some of them, what they call the aim is to get there. Once they get there, they put on the fika pay, you know, I'm on the table, you know?
But the thing is this.
But what we need to have is that I can because some of the people will have a tari na wake ta all or what they ta can ingash
ya ta ni ya ko
for the comfortable o level ya o pishi kucho level ya knowledge ya o pishi we know them so but we want
the why Mike the thing is that you know why I hit this parliament of our sentence is that the tell me, once you move that side, you think you become somebody like what?
The honorable.
But once you are 5 years, it's over. you come back scratching where you are, and you want to be a friend of us again. Yeah? Hey, how can you argue and say, welcome back? No! We will keep you aside, my friend. We will outcast you because you did the same.
Yeah, so that's why sometimes when they said we have these 5 years to eat, okay, it's our time to eat, you know?
No. So that's, it doesn't want to be that way.
That's the focus for most of this, you know?
Do honorable thing like the way Sangwasi is doing things, my friend, and Nekunji, including the Minister of Health. At least those people can say, yes, they are trying. Even though now they, maybe, I'm just wish that nobody's going to stand in their way.
Yeah. So there will be always. You know, even people is, from your own party, there will be
exactly
always.
Exactly. Jealous will be there. Yeah. First of all, jealous will be there. And again, there will be a lot of, encounter.
Yeah.
Serious, but serious, Michael. Let me give other people a chance, but serious, we'll be able to do something, man.
All right, man. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for coming through.
Sure.
0833-66-091, 0833-66-091. Welcome to the People's Parliament. All right. So, maybe some takeaways. What are the key takeaways from what we have discussed so far? So from our first item on the show, Namibia. And this is a story in today's edition of the Villager. Make sure the front page story, the story that making a front page in today's edition of the Villager. So Namibia does not have a comprehensive mineral reserve database. The ministry has admitted this publicly, you know, and we are making strategic decision about our mineral wealth without a full picture, without information, without complete information, without a full picture. So that, I hope that, as I said, if it's something that you're not paying attention, that is something you should pay attention to. And if you are a lawmaker of this country, if you're a leader of this country, that's something that you should be looking at this seriously, because you know, how do you know how much is actually going out without knowing how much we have, you know? Now, this data gap, you know, create a dangerous dependency, a dependency on a private companies. Now, to tell us what is on our own land and in our own waters. So that's what we depend. We become dependent there on these companies who actually their motive is profit. Yeah? When profit-driven entity control the information, the national interest is at risk. It is at risk. Yeah? So, yeah, we'll be back. We're going to look at others as well before we conclude this part. All right?
Imbaya rire ombwa nai etetlaweza kwa ombu nikiro ombe ombi hukusha. Onjiviro yoye irire ombupu ohatane na wina ikare no masa kumurungu wa indu. Warire ongere kusha umune ondengu okuura kwa imba. Una ovyo unedia peke kwa ogondola mirongo vitatu na hambu umwe mumwe stoo. Kwika ovinki no kukara norupa ondando ya peke yukia nja oshimariva. Owa peresente dano kumyeze vitatu moshimariva. Owa peresente umurongo kumyeze hambu umwe moshimariva. Owa peresente umirongo ivari na dano. Kumyeze umurongo na vivari moshimariva. Itoarorera ondengu jima yu ungura na wakove na wina onyano kife. Ashiesho imba ye kupe oshimariva shishihina omarifiro. Imba o maoronga neno uye buha kainina itako na wina rishangita jinon.
All right, welcome back. So, yeah, the other thing maybe we can take away from our discussion this morning is also that the ministry, in their strategic planning, in their 5-year strategic plan, the mineral resources and reserve database project has a zero budget allocation. So this is actually now the tool that help, you know, to make informed decision, but it's not budgeted. So the ministry has committed to building it, but commitment without funding, it's just a promise on paper. So as we have it now, so it's just a promise on paper. Yeah? So, a very good morning. Welcome to Unpacking the Day.
Yes, morning, Mike.
Good morning. How are you?
Good.
Yeah.
Through. Yeah. The data that we want to view is the one for performance or one for appreciation.
It's appreciation, and the other one is actually the survey to see what we have underneath.
Yeah, but we are guiding by the geological survey. They are also showing us that the license that we are having is on this site and all of that. It's only that we don't, yeah.
Yeah, no. What I'm saying is that there is a lack of exactly of what you're saying. There is a little bit here and there, but it's not complete.
Yeah, no. Mm. The leakage is there. What is the problem here? Is the ministry itself?
Yeah.
It have no research. The data collector.
Yeah.
They can put it on one archive where you can. Search and look at that, the performance of, because remember this, we don't have really the body that doing that.
Yeah. The idea is that, the idea of the article is also talking about, we don't really, is that when we're talking about the now mineral resources and reserves database, is we don't really know completely what we have, you know, underground, because we lack data.
Yeah, but that one is not too much on, because it's on the geology survey, which is under the Ministry of Mine and Energy. So it's the same that we go to this is what
basin.
Yeah, it's the same thing, but the issue, if you look at what we are unpackaging those days, is that people are relying too much on NSA.
Mm.
Yeah, NSA is look at the invoices that are issued by the mining, which is just a performance, but so the one for the license, which is told us that, okay, you got a license for lithium, for example, and the reserve, the deposit that is underground, how much?
Yeah.
On the look of that license. So those ones now, the geology, they have it, but unfortunately, because people are not looking for those information themselves, you understand?
Yeah.
To say, and to look at that, I wanted just to study Namibia by 2050.
Yeah.
How much are we going to be extracted?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Those are now the things that is leakage, maybe from the report, and also from the mine, the ministry itself, to say that, okay, by 2050, how much are we having in our hand? Because remember, we are dropping down now.
The ministry doesn't have an independent kind of database based on their own, on their own surveying, you know?
Yeah, that is what I'm saying. The ministry is the one that is doing wrong. Because once you go to the ministry now, you want some information about it, they refer you to 20 offices where you cannot get the answer.
Mm.
Because they have nobody who is doing that for them. And if you go now to the geologist, they will just be showing you that the license of this guy, where we direct him to go apply, is this. But it's not us, it's not our duty to find it out that day.
Exactly.
So them, they are just tracking what is in the underground. So those are now the leakage of the country itself. It's not that. It's for the maybe the ministry doesn't. I don't think this is now what our intelligence was supposed to be, because we are a mineraling country.
Yeah.
We are we are those, how do you call it, lucky on natural resources. So we were supposed to put our foot on the ground that what we need is a reserve to know that we are extracting this to raising money, not into feeding the market. Because remember, if you don't have money to do those things or to buying power, that is, we are talking about it complicated now, the investment, this 5149, it's because people are not putting money on the table.
Yeah.
So the investors, the FDIs, they are now run away from us. Because they look at other countries where people are partner with the finance, not with the policy.
With the, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, those are now the problem that we have to look at it, because, yeah, maybe if you look at some of the tenderpreneurs in Zimbabwe, they have about $5 million, and the hour is about $800,000
Namibian.
It's a millionaire in Namibia, that one. So there is a problem of them on finance to be partnered. So that's why now it may end up that report, it may end up benefited. The government is not benefiting because we are not using. Because if you go in the New York, in the Namibian Security Exchange, the stock, they were not giving the information of those companies or those miners because they are no more reporting. As they say, they are not making money.
Yeah. The other issue then is then when you don't have this database, independent based database, you're relying more on this private organization, on private companies, to tell us what our own land and in our own water, what is in our own land and in our own waters, and these are profit driven entities, they will definitely control information that they feed you. So it doesn't put you in a strong position of negotiation either.
Yeah, it's what I'm saying. If you publishing this, you're making also easier to the other investors that is they want to come to Namibia to buying what is existing. You understand? They want to buy shares in roasting uranium, or they want to buy shares in Nandeb. So they see what is on what is on the reserve. You understand? So, but if you don't have that in public, you might end up maybe you go there. Those Mwanja and the others go there to say, "Yeah, we have minerals," but the people are asking, "Where is the data? The reserving data?" So that is what I want them to see, whether that company or that mining is struggling because of finance.
Yeah, so I look at South Africa and even Botswana. Why have they built a proper mineral database and we can't?
No, them they understand.
Yeah,
because remember the history of Botswana and South Africa is totally different. So they were those major players who were there. Transparent or enough to showing the world.
Yeah.
No matter they were under sanction, because South Africa was facing under sanction for years.
Yeah.
But they were trying to convince some countries like Japan, a developed country like Japan, because them, they are the one that is bringing Japan to Namibia. Them, they are the one that is bringing Australia to South Africa. So they were using that because they know once you're showing the guy the map, you end up interested, or you end up going to the public and offering to say, "I wanted to go to do lithium in Namibia because look at the deposit, it's very high, and look at my demand, it's also high." So that is something that is reading us into some way in 2050. But to us as a ministry of mine and energy, we see it as a simple thing.
Exactly.
So because you can come, we're giving you a license, you do it, you get your data on yourself. So, which is a problem. So I don't want to do that. I don't want to go back paying another geology while you are having them already. They were just supposed to show you that, okay, this is the area of Funene area, where there is underground diamond, where there is underground lithium and what. So those are the things that is leakage. It's where now maybe, yeah, because even us, we cannot fit in because we need to share, to sit with the ministry.
Yeah.
To say that, give us the full report that you are having in your day. And they cannot give you that.
They can't. Exactly. Mm.
Yeah, but them, when they are requesting, they don't request even to the miners. Them, they just look at what is the NS, Namibia, what?
Statistic agency. Yeah.
Yeah. Saying that, okay, look at them, they are making money because their invoices still look like this. So that is what the problem is. So they need, I think we need somebody, the advising of the Ministry of Mine and Energy, to understanding that to convince not to go outside.
Yeah, exactly.
To show the public, to show the public what you have. That is what attracts him more. No matter you go in China and telling people that I have fishing under what. They will say, no, you want me to come and look at those fishing under the while their season is maybe deep. Because some of the fishes, they are seasonal. You understand?
Exactly, yeah.
So those are the things that I'm saying. It's a very limitation of the ministry.
Yeah.
But not to say we don't have it. It's only that we are not having somebody who can collect it for us.
Exactly, yeah. That's the thing.
So that
is
where they get. Because I know, I'm always on the Ministry of Mine and Energy, but they can turn you around and you will not get the answers that you wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Okay, but Mike.
Thanks, man. Thanks for coming through. Mm. Yeah, no, I was just talking about our neighbors, you know, South Africa and Botswana. They have built proper mineral, you know, database, and they are negotiating from a position of knowledge. Yeah, definitely when you have database, you are negotiating from a position of knowledge, and we are negotiating from a position of uncertainty. that's where we are negotiating from. Yeah. And with over, I was talking about the 8 million, you know, 8 million carat of marine diamonds. You know, a $10 billion green hydrogen project on horizon and a record exploration investment flowing in. Now, the stakes are very, how would I say, the stakes have never been higher, really. Yeah. The cost of knowing is growing every single day. Yeah? So you cannot manage what you cannot measure. You can't manage what you can't measure. You cannot protect what you cannot verify. So he was talking about the caller was not talking about the maybe the intelligence should be involved in here. So Namibia Minerals wealth belongs to Namibians, eh? But without data to account for it, we risk losing control of our own inheritance. That's our inheritance, a God-given inheritance, eh? We gotta be very clever. We gotta be very clever. Very clever, eh? So that's the story this morning. That's the story this morning that you can find at the front page of the Villager. Make sure that you subscribe for the Villager and you'll be receiving your digital copy every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. So make sure that you do that, to get, all this latest business economic, information. So we are sitting on wealth we cannot count. We're sitting on wealth that we cannot count. We are cutting deals we can't verify. And the one tool that could change everything, as the ministry has put it, has no budget. It has no budget at all. So I want to hear from you. Do you think the government should prioritize funding for mineral reserve database? Should we, you know, prioritize that? Should Namibia invest in independent, you know, geological, like the one was saying, should we invest in the independent geological survey before, let's say, for example, before granting more exploration license? Yeah? So we know we're speaking from, you know, when you are informed, well informed, you're speaking from knowledge is power. That's what we say. Knowledge is power. So when you're speaking from the point of knowledge, from the position of knowledge, you have power. You're in control. So should now Namibia invest then in, maybe we don't have people, you know, invest in independent geological survey before even granting, you know, more exploration license. So, yeah, let's have a conversation. We still have some minutes. And because this is your wealth. This is your wealth. This is your future. This is your country, my friend. So this is your country. So, 08333-66091. 08333-66091. I wanted to go into the 51% mines ownership proposal, not government policy. We need to, I have only about 13 minutes, and I think that would be, and I don't want to leave it in the middle, you know, because there are issues here connecting to what we're discussing also now. I will leave that up to tomorrow. We're going to talk about that tomorrow. So because I just don't want to leave it somewhere in the middle, and we don't cover things that I want us to cover, you know, really digest some issues, you know, when it comes to this. So I think we're going to leave that for tomorrow. We're going to discuss that tomorrow. So the 51% ownership. Maybe what we can look at, worth looking at, what is making headline. Maybe the GIPF board members that paid themselves 666,000 in 2 months. That's interesting. You know, 666,000 Namibian dollar. That is the amount the GIPF board of trustees paid themselves. Because who decided actually? Paid themselves fees and retainers over just 2 months. 2 months. You know, now the board of trustees is, I mean, as we know, the board of trustees is supposed to be the guardian of that money. Okay. Isn't it? They are the one who's supposed to be the guardian of that money. 13 men and women entrusted with making sure that the fund is healthy, well invested and protected. So they are the one who should actually, they are the one who should be actually be able to do that now, but payroll record review I think reviewed by a newspaper, Namibian newspaper, actually have revealed that between July and August 2025, these 13 guardians, okay, I put them in guardian in inverted comma, these 13 guardians collectively earned 666,000 in sitting fees and retainers. You know, that is a story. That's another story that is making headlines. Yeah. And let me walk you through, okay? Let me just walk you through through the headline figures. The chairperson of the board, Penda Ithinti, who also serves as the executive director of health and social service, you know, attended 3 meetings in that 2 month window. Okay? In that 2 month window, for the 3 meeting, he received 89,314 in sitting fees. Okay? Da, antari mariwa muna mibi agwe. Now, plus a 25,000, a 25,400 monthly retainer. Okay? Now, that brought his total to 114,700. 3 meeting. Yeah. Over $100,000. And we still have, so you see then when we're talking about unequal distribution of wealth, when we call inequality in Namibia, we being on top, we being a number one, probably we are number one in the planet. I always said we are number one in the planet when it comes to inequalities. You know, okay, let's get to NAPU, General Secretary, Petrus Nebongo. received 92,163 in the same period. Henrik Gwamap, the second, the former NIDA chief executive, you know, work away with he work away with how much? 93,000. NATO Secretary General Lloyd Ashanika received 82,000, you know, 82,300. And communication consultant Maria Dax, you know, 82,000 also, you know. And the list goes on, okay? The list goes on. The lowest earners, there are those lowest earners, people like Colin Kachitai, Advocate Adolf Deck, you know, Martha Dama, each received just about under 5,000. You know, you see. Now, ask yourself: if a teacher now, a teacher earns roughly how much? Roughly 20,000 a month before deduction, and one board member earns more than five times that for attending a three meetings. Eh? Is that board serving workers, or actually serving themselves? Seriously. Yeah. Now, if you are a teacher and this is your money, or police officer or a nurse or whoever, you know, civil servant, you get about a 20,000 a month before deductions, and your board member, a one board member, earns more than five times that for just for attending three meetings. People, our priority are honestly screwed. Absolutely screwed. And these are people now. So let's get to that. How did this get to this point now? So let's just give you the background to the whole thing. Okay. So in 2024, the GIPF board hired a firm called, this is now the board itself. It's the board itself hired a firm called Kokela Remuneration Advisor to do a benchmark study. Now, the brief was to assess. Now, it was now to assess whether the board member were being paid competitively compared to similar organizations. Now, Kokela compared now GIPF remuneration with the likes of NAMDEB, MTC, Capricorn Group, you know, Rossing Uranium, Sanlam, and the Standard Bank, all these, the big corporates. So profit-driven entities, because these are the profit-driven entities, not like GIPF. So the study concluded that GIPF trustee were underpaid relatively to their peers, all right, based on that finding. So the board revised fees upward from the 1st of April 2025, so implemented in June 2025. So, but here's the difference, and as something I mentioned also, here's the difference. GIPF is not MTC. GIPF is not MTC. It's not Standard Bank. It's a pension fund. That's a pension fund. Its purpose is not to generate profit for shareholders. Its purpose is to safeguard the retirement saving fund for workers. Yeah? So, now comparing the trustees of workers' pension fund to executives at commercial banks and mining houses, I think that's like comparing apples to luxury cars. No, seriously. Yeah? It is a category error. Yeah? It's a category error. It's one that conveniently enriches the very people who approve the benchmark study themselves. Yeah? So, now, the in the paper, we have, who is this? Evaristus Karonda explained that many board representatives already hold full-time jobs as a civil servant or union officials, like the Devongas, they already hold a job. So they are already being paid a salary for their working hours. So when they attend a meeting during those same working hours and collect sitting fees on top of, that is a double income for the same time. Eh? So, and Karonda called a double dipping. You know, that's the word, double dipping. Now, the National Union of Namibia Workers, so actually passed a Congress resolution to fix this problem. So the resolution said any sitting fees earned by union representative on boards should be paid into the union account. So that money should be coming to the union account, not directly to individual. So the union would then decide what portion, if any, should go to the person. Now, the reasoning was very simple, you know. You are already being paid at work. You're already being paid to work. Board meeting happened during work hours. So taking extra money for the same hours is taking money out of workers' pocket twice. You understand? Yeah? But here's the strategy. That resolution was never implemented. Karonda says he is shocked that people like Nevonga now, you know, who came after him, have failed to enforce the very rules their own movement agreed on. Of course, because you're benefiting from it, you know. So now he called it a daylight robbery and a white collar theft. You know, those are strong words, definitely. But when union leader earns over 92,000 in 2 months, in 2 months from a fund meant to protect workers, while the Congress resolution to prevent exactly that seat gathering dust, how else would you describe it? If union themselves will not enforce their own resolution to protect workers' money, you know, who will? Who will? And then the president weigh in. There is also one more twist. During her 2026 State of Nation address, the president, Netumbo Nandi-Ndaitwah, said the alleged disappearing fund at the GIPF and losses or at the Bank of Namibia are smelling of corruption, you know, and must be investigated. Yeah, I mean, when you have a head of state stand in a parliament and say your pension fund smell of corruption, you should pay attention. Yeah? And this is the president we're talking about. And if she is asking questions, every contributing member of GIP should be demanding answers. Yeah? We should be demanding answers. If the president herself says there is a corruption at GIPF, should we not expect a full independent investigation before another cent is paid out in fees? We should. We actually should.
Every journey starts with a heartbeat.
Our time? So,
and for your car,
we couldn't go into that.
That heartbeat is every part working
but one thing is that
together. At Motivac, we don't just sell parts, we keep your car alive. From brakes to batteries, filters to fluids, we power every drive, every trip. Every moment. Motivac, the heartbeat behind your journey.
The chairperson actually alone heading over 140,000 for attending 3 meetings. Okay? And well, this is not a new problem anyway. So if you look at, you know, what has been happening. So the fee increase was justified by a benchmarking study, by benchmark study comparing GIPF to profit-driven companies like MTC and Standard Bank and so on, a fundamentally flawed comparison for a workers' pension fund. So, yeah, I think there are really issues that that we need to deal with in this country. Okay, so and make sure that you book your seat every time here. Okay? Make sure that you book your seat every time here. So,
every journey starts with a heartbeat. And for your car, that heartbeat is every part working perfectly together. At Motovac, we don't just sell parts. We keep your car alive. From brakes to batteries, filters to fluids, we power every drive, every trip, every moment. Motovac, the heartbeat behind your journey. No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
All right. Let's do this again tomorrow here on your favorite stations, Eagle FM. And we're waiting for Tate Naluvanda just to come through. He's just coming out now. And from me, Mike Shaveni, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. At this right, at the same time, from 10 o'clock. I mean, from 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. So Naluvanda will be coming through in few minutes. Stay tuned.